hasten the full recovery of your very distinguished Mara D'Asra. I just came running from a Sheva Brachas of a Talmud when I was sitting right next to Rabbi Chala. So I said, I have to speak first, I have to go to Mashiach, but Rabbi Rubar and Renuber Gashul. So they called me to speak and I spoke. Then they called Rabbi Chala to speak and I left. As soon as they introduced him, I left. So he was saying, oh, but he said, he echoed my earlier statement that we came for a foolish lame for the Rav, and once again, there's no greater schus for someone who's not feeling so 100% than Limud HaTorah B'Rabim. Limud HaTorah B'Rabim is such an important mitzvah, it's docha, almost everything. And therefore, it's again my schus to be part of this. Oh, I have a copy of the Maragos. Okay, so if you didn't get it, I have it. It starts with a Rambam, okay? For those who want to look up later.
We also dedicate our learnings to your father, Shem.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's much appreciated. Thank you. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia has the following quotes. For those maybe who weren't here last week. The topic last week was the sugya of Ger Katan. So if you recall, the Gemara says, Ger Katan, I feel no so das bezin. And it says, Gdil Yecholim Limchos. When the child turns 13, he can protest and say, I don't want any part of this. I don't want it. I'm not interested in this gerus. And in fact, he undoes the gerus. We spoke about the details of how it's undone. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Zayin, is absolutely mind-boggling. He quotes the entire Gemara and omits Higdilu Yecholim Limchos. Left it out. No one knows why. This is what he says. Ger kot mat gil na also adas bezin, shes chusilo. Says the Magad Mishnah. What happened to the din of Higdil Yichol Nuchos? The Rambam left it out. He gives a whole possible explanation. Acha kach matzosiv, the Rabbeinu, shekos of the din, in the 10th parak of Hilchos Malachim. Now wait a minute. The Rambam wrote a Sefer Psak. That means you open up the Rambam, and you have a Psak. Now even the Lubavitchers, who learn Rambam Yomi, how long do you think it's going to take them to get from Hilchos Yisurei Bia to Hilchos Malachim? So way off. So a guy is going to see the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia will think, okay, a kid is Megayer. There's no way he's ever going to be able to get out of the Geirus. Oh, he learns years later, he opens Hilchos Malachim. That's a funny thing. Here the Rambam says, Higdil Yecholim Limchos. It's mind-boggling. P.S. The Rif, who was Rambam's mentor, as it were, totally omits the Din Yecholim Limchos. Left it out completely. Rambam left it out in Yisrei Bia, puts it in Malachim. Highly unusual. So to answer this question, I want to read you the Lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim. I want to make a number of comments on the Lashon of the Rambam, so please listen very carefully. And hopefully, I will be able to answer all these problems in order. Ben Noach shen is Yud Gimel. Ben Noach shen is Gayer Umol V'Tovah V'Yachakach Rotz Alachzem Me'Acharei Hashem. This is he's 30 years old. He goes to Mila, goes to Tefillah, and he says, "That's it. I've had it. I was a Jew for 1 year. I'm out." This is every word. V'Lios Gertoshav Bilvad. Kishahoya Mikoda. He wants to become a Ger Toshev. What does a Ger Toshev mean? A Ger Toshev is a non-Jew who accepts upon himself what? Seven mitzvahs. And he's allowed to do what? Live in Eretz Yisrael. Toshev. Right? You can allow him to, otherwise you have to throw him out. So it says. Ein shomen lo. Don't listen to him. Eliyye ki Yisrael l'chol davar. O Yehoreg. Yeah? He'll be a Yisrael for all purposes, or he'll be killed. I'm asking a question. Be killed? Why is he being killed? Why is he being killed? If he's Mechal Shabbos, capital offense, of course he'll be killed. If he's not Mechal Shabbos, just he's reneging itself, so why should he be killed? This question is not mine. Anyone here own the Sefer Chidushe Moron Riz Halevi on the Rambam, the Brisker of Sefer. Who owns that Sefer in the house? It's not so easy to get over here. I think I have to get it in Brisk somewhere until you find it. It's the very last line in that sefer. Literally. And of course, ends with the brisk ending. That's how a sefer should end, right? Vitzarachin doesn't understand. What's going on over here? If it's Mechal Shabbos, it's obvious he gets killed. And if not, why should he be killed? It's a pele vakash. Yes. Oh, so some say, I think it's the Evan HaOzel who says, he's a kofer. A kofer gets killed. Not so simple that a kofer gets killed. It doesn't do anything, really. Right, if he doesn't want to zorb, just kofer, but I don't know. Okay. Right. So it's a semi kind of, it's not a simple answer, that answer. But I think it's an Ozel, but it's not simple. That's question number one. Question two. What's his Ger Toshev story? He wasn't a Ger Toshev when it began. He was a plain guy. Let's go further. V'mhoya katan k'shed bilo also bezin, yochol limchos v'shah shiagdil, v'yia Ger Toshev bulvad. Nochamol Ger Toshev. What's his fixate on Ger Toshev for? Who's talking about Ger Toshev? What's going on? The cave in Shlomicha v'ashat Toshev and memacha, alavei Ger Tzedek. Fine. Lefichach im balik tana shet bilua bezin kesef ksubas o knas onus a mafate. That's the kind of the Gemara in Ksubas that Tosfos quotes in Sanhedrin. So we got started over here. Yia kol tachas yad bezin achetagdil. Put an escrow so she turns 12, and she doesn't protest because we're afraid if we give her the money earlier when she's 11 years old, shemet tito, she'll take the money, vitagdil, she'll turn 12, vitimcha, she'll protest. She will be eating the money, using the money when she's not Jewish. Pashtas, bigiyusa. Mos she'ein lo zchus bohen ela b'dine Yisrael. Money which she's not entitled to except for Dine Yisrael. What's wrong with this picture? She's entitled to the money in Dine Yisrael? If she reneged, presumably, as of when is the conversion undone? Huh? May cause, but why the last week with length? So why is she entitled to the money, Bedina Yisrael? So in the footnotes in the Ritva and Ksuba Safiralf, he says, you know, the Rambam holds that the Geras is undone, but only from the moment of the protest and on. Whoa. That means the person was Jewish till age 12, so the money was coming to her then, and now she's not going to be Jewish anymore, so we don't give her the money. Since this is a new story. You were Jewish and you become always Jewish. That's something so counterintuitive to us. Right? Once a Jew, always a Jew. Isn't that, what's going on over here? These are the questions that we've raised, a number of questions. Again, the biggest question was, why is it in Hilchos Malachim and not in Hilchos Yisurei Bia? That's a tremendous question. The next question was, what's the Yehoreh? For what? What happened over here? What's the Chiddush, Pshita? What's the Ger Toshev? And what do you mean the money is hers in Dinei Yisrael? It's so difficult to understand. It's so difficult. And I would say the final question would be, why didn't the Rambam say explicitly that when the person reneges and protests, that he's no longer Jewish? Never really said explicitly.
What's the case that Rambam is describing that she gets...
Right.
What's the case?
He married her when she was 11, or he was onus of mefata when she was 11. So, if you give her the money now at age 11, what's going to happen? She'll keep the money, but she's not entitled to the money except for Dinei Yisrael. That's a good question. That's a good question. But in this case, there is no father. Now I'm going to tell you a teretz, which I'm going to give you an introduction to this teretz. This teretz was once originated one summer we learned in Camp Marasha. We're learning Masechta Yevamos. How much money was there that summer? We're learning. Oh, the sponsor was there. We're learning.
Last week's sponsor. We got a different sponsor.
Oh, different sponsor. Oh, okay. Okay, good. I want to thank the sponsor. Oh, thank you. Nathan has also added something I want to thank him. I didn't realize when he came through where he was driving, coming from. He wanted to be a refuah shlema for my father, Shalita, who's also not doing so great. He fell and broke a hip. And I'm so thankful to the sponsor who knows my father from way back, whose in-laws, mamish, the closest of friends with my parents, who were so far back from 40 plus years ago. So it's a big skus that your sponsors, and thank you for your sentiments.
And Rabbi W. Weiss was
Oh, the same sounds. I'll give you a bechina. So, what was the teretz that I gave? I believe it was the summer of 89. And I'll tell you, 89. BMT Benny's, right? That's right. And if you may recall that I gave this shiur on this topic, and that I had to go to a chasna. Not Rav Asher. No. Rav Nochum. Rav Nochum from Shalavim came. And he said a shiur on the same topic. Yeah. And the boys, so when I came back from my chasna, that Rav from Mitzvah, we like your teretz better. Wait a minute. The story doesn't end. Oh, wait, whoa. This is, whew, Rosh Hashiva. So wait a minute. So I used to have the privilege in Riverdale every year of having the great Goyen and Tzaddik from Simcha Wasserman, Zecha Tzaddik Levrocha, spend Shabbos in my house. I'm not sure if you remember, he's been gone for 10 years. But you maybe remember, every year he comes to my house on behalf of the Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he would often, spend time in a so, I have a next the neighbor, Rabbi Osban Shalita, from the Tells Yeshivas on my floor. Whenever Simcha came, he'd come in to cover it. Man, this is 90 years old. So he sat around my table, I think it was right afterwards. It was just after that summer, 89, so I don't know how far, almost 15 years ago. And they said to me, I was sitting at the front of the table, and they're sitting on either side, Nu Zogapis. These people know everything, so to tell them something which is, hey, I'll tell them something really new. I'll tell you a chiddush I said this summer. I told them the chiddush I'm about to tell you, and they both thought I was nuts. I gotta be honest, full disclosure, they thought it was crazy. Just to finish this final sequel, this year I was at a wedding, Chanukah time, my brother made a chasna in Eretz Yisrael, and I was sitting at the chasna, and he said, Rav Asher Arieli came, because my nephew was a Talmud of his, and he sat, and he waited for the chaskal to come out, and it's just dead time. Because, he tried to time it right, he timed it wrong, he came, had to sit there for half an hour, and he's learning Ksuba Sefer Al. I said, he knows everything. I'll tell you a chiddush that you never heard before. I told him this chiddush, he said, Chidush Gadol. He doesn't know me well enough to know I'm crazy. That doesn't know me very well. Let me tell you my chiddush is. My chiddush is as follows. That the Rambam, according to Shitas Rambam, I mentioned the phrase before, once a Jew, always a Jew. You can never undo your status of a Jew. Never. Impossible. Never. Well, it says, Higdilu Yecholim Limchos. You can protest. Sure you can protest. Protest all you want. You're still going to be Jewish. So what does the protest accomplish? What does the protest accomplish if you're Jewish anyway? Let me explain. In Hilchos Yisribia, it accomplishes nothing. You're still Jewish. Hence, it's omitted in Hilchos Yisribia. What's Hilchos Balachim all about? Balachim means how we deal, this part of it, with non-Jews. We punish them, we kill them, and all those kind of things. That's a discussion over here. We have wars. That's the whole topic of Hilchos Malachim. This is the Chiddush of the Rambam. It's very apropos to these parshas. Yisrael, Mishpatim. A member of Klal Yisrael who commits a capital offense is put to death. Most you must. It's found all the time. It was this week's parsha. We read this morning. Most you must. Oh, you're killing somebody with this. Fundamentalism. The answer is, yeah. We accepted the Torah Bar Sinai, and that's binding upon us, and we accept it with all the punishments and everything, and therefore, if someone Chalid of Chas says, does it, Issa Malkus, he gets Malkus, Issa Misa, he gets Misa, that's it. Fair is fair, we accepted it. I didn't accept it. Well, two ways to answer that question. Either your neshama was Bar Sinai, that's what we were taught when we were children, that everyone's neshama was Bar Sinai, or, say one of the little more litvish, it was a national acceptance. Klal Yisrael accepted it nationally. Until last year, we were private to this. I think it's the Rav Chava who said, Hashbeah Hishbiah Shbnei Yisrael. Yosef HaTzadik told his children to tell his grandchildren, to the great-grandchildren, Israel has to swear, make the next generation swear, because there's no such thing as a national commitment. But once Har Sinai, so if they accepted it, then it's binding until Tov Kol Hadoros. Fine. What if someone converts? They convert. He accepted it. He accepted it. So he also is going to be killed if he commits a capital offense and his children, etc., etc. What if somebody is converted in infancy or in childhood? Wait a minute. His ancestors never stood in Har Sinai. They never accepted the Torah. Nor did he. Is it fair to kill him? Is it fair to kill someone who never accepted the Torah? His grandparents never accepted the Torah. A bunch of guys wanted to take a kid and convert him for whatever reason. Today they adopt him and they convert him. Whatever it is. Is he going to kill the guy if it's Mechal Shabbat? That's not fair. That's what it means. Higdilu Yecholim Limchos. They can protest. And if they protest, it's not fair. I don't want to be living the life of a Jew with all that entails. You know, for a gay, you're telling their punishment. I don't want it. I don't want to be punished. You don't punish him. He's Jewish? Yes. That's why it's omitted in Ilchus Yisurabiyya. That's why the Rif, who didn't know, never had any punishments in his time, left it out completely. The Rambam puts in Ilchus Nochus. And that explains the answer to the Brisker Rav's Kasha. The Rambam is giving a contrast. A non-Jew converts in adulthood, and he wants to go back, he reneges, you don't listen to him, but rather what? Oh, Yehoreg. What Yehoreg? If it's Mechal or Shabbos, Yehoreg. You'll say it's obvious. It is fairly obvious, but it's a contrast. This is leading up to the final climactic point. As opposed to what? Imhoya Kotan Kshedbilu also Bezdim. Yochol Limchos B'Shoj Yagdil. And then what? Lo Yehoreg. The Yehoreg is only a setup for the Lo Yehoreg. But what is he really? He's Jewish. That's why Nisur Abir left it out. What's the matter, Chol?
The problem that I have with that theory is that if you, at this point, a Ger's child was not in Har Sinai, and his Neshama didn't accept, so each generation should be able to do the same
that's
thing.
That's a very, very good question. An excellent question. Excellent question. However, we assume that once someone converts and becomes a full-fledged member of Klal Yisrael, that he becomes grafted into the Klal with all the good and bad things. We treat him with the same respect, and he has the same responsibilities for all generations. I don't want to go any further. Now, what does it mean now? Yes?
If I can maybe temper the
Tid Aramba,
he says
it's
like a
Geratosha. Oh! What does it mean, Ger Toshev? What's this Ger Toshev story? In my opinion. He's not a Ger Toshev, he's a Jew. What are you calling Ger Toshev for? He's really Be'etim, he's a Jew. Here's the answer. Sure, he's a Jew. But he's not conducting himself as a Jew. He's conducting himself as an absolute goy. So how do we relate to this guy? How do you relate to a Jew who conducts himself as a goy? Here's the answer. Since he is really a Jew, if he has any problems, we have to take care of him. When push comes to shove, this guy is a Jew. And therefore, the Rambam writes in the very same Perek in Hilchos Melachim, in Perek Yud, he writes, in Halacha Yud Beis, I believe it is, if you have a situation, let's see if I can find it. Here we go. A ger toshav, you have to go b'derech eret, u'gmilus chasadim ki Yisrael, mitzuvim lach yoso. Yeah, la ger shev esherechet nena b'chola. You have to be so nice to them, etc., etc., etc. That's what I'm saying. Treat him as you treat a ger toshav. He holds himself to be a goy. Now, look, if you're deep down secret, he's a Jew. So how do you mediate between the two? You treat him as a ger toshav. You'll try, if he has to be saved, you're going to save him. More so than you would a regular goy, which was whatever, lo moral, lo mal, reading, lo mal, whatever relationship you had to have with the base in the Gemaras. That's my pshat. And there's one more thing I'll take a question to you. This explains to us the fact that the money really belongs there in Dinei Yisrael. Because at the moment that he married her or admonished her, she's Jewish, she's still Jewish. But we don't want to give her money to eat. Now this is a little bit of a problem, but I think it's very good. To eat in her goyish estate. Not that she's a not Jew. The Rambam wanted to say she wasn't Jewish. She just said so. Och nimse zu ocheles begiusa, when she's conducting herself as a goya, mol she'en los chuspen ela b'dinei Yisrael. In Dinei Yisrael, she's entitled to the money because she really was Jewish and is Jewish. That's my pshat. Now, Dori, what do you want to say?
You could say that maybe not once a Jew, always a Jew.
Okay.
And therefore, I think the Delicious Yadis has a machlokas Rambam and Tosfos about the formal gayrus, and that's why you need a formal Kabbalah part of that. So it's not just a guy who's keeping certain mitzvahs. He's actually, on some level, he's been the guy or into a Geret Kosher.
Interesting. Okay.
So if that's true...
That tempers the chiddush.
Tempers the chiddush. He's still not a guy. He's... something in the middle.
Should the quarter in Yichus Yisur Abiyah, though? Can you get married now?
Not Geret Kosher. I mean, but then all of Geret Kosher should have been in the Yisur Abiyah.
No.
Geret Kosher is a form of
gayrus. No, not at all. Geret Kosher with the suspect of marriage is a guy. It's an intimate marriage.
But there's still some type of formal...
Could be. You have a Chumash and Ramban in Parshas Ki Seitzer. There could be plain Ramban also, if you have a separate
right,
Ramban.
Right there.
You can read it. So I must tell you, this is an amazing story. We learned Ksumas last year in the yeshiva, and I got up to Dafid Aleph, and I wasn't going to not say the shir, the chiddush again, but I must tell you, my daughter, Shira, my youngest daughter, some of you from, she doesn't, can't remember when she was 2 years old in that summer of we learned Ksumas the Yavamas, so she didn't contribute too much to my chiddush, because I might be keeping me up at night when I said it. She says, Abba, can you please learn me a piece of Ramban? She was then in the 11th grade, and she goes, oh, Chumash and Ramban. Said, well, my pleasure. She opens the Ramban. It's a mind-boggling story. The Ramban is found in Devarim, Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Excuse me. It's really Yud Beis. Let's go to one Hampshire, Yud Aleph Yud Beis. Listen to what he says. V'ala klal, Tomat Eishas Yifaz Torah. Because she was forced to convert. Notice, a convert who did not convert willingly. Sounds familiar? Says Ramban, Imrotzel is Gaya Bechepetz, Nafsha Bebezdin Kamishpot, that she's a full-fledged Jew. And then it says, if she was a Yafas Torah, was in effect forced converted, the Pasuk says we all know by heart, this is one of the beginning of the parasha. V'shilach ta l'nafsho, says the Ramban. Shetasek yirtzona. Does she want? V'lo nachrichena lishmor das Moshe v'yudis. She's a Jewish woman. But we're not going to force her to keep Torah. Why? Ki amiskayeres v'rotzon nachriach also lishmor Torah. V'imtachal shashabes tisokel. But this woman, who what? Who was in effect forced to convert, and she never accepted it fully, she is not punished. Pella otzu. This Ramban is a perfect precedent for my Chiddush. My Chiddush is still a Chiddush. But those who look at me funny, how can there be someone who's Jewish, but we're not going to punish him just because they didn't accept it willingly? The Ramban says it's a Beferish. Beferish, if I saw her. Yeah.
The
Yemesh
Yisro.
Oh! The story goes on. The story goes on. Last year, it was this time of the year, and my son, Akiva, is also home, pulled out a Yemesh Chochma and left it on the table. That was his contribution. Left it on the table. So I figured before I put it out, let me open it up. I found an incredible Meshech Chochma, which says as follows. He says the famous Maimach Hazal, the Parshas Yisro, and the famous Maimach Hazal, Vayisyatsu B'sachti Sahor, Melame Shekofalem HaKigigas Vakor, Kosh Baruch Hu said, Im Tekablu Esat Torah Nu Musa V'im Lav Shom Tek for Rashi. Says the Gemara Shabbos Mikan Modor Rabbala Oraisa. We can say we never accepted it, we never wanted it. The famous Gemara, we're holding our Shorash Adar soon. Hada Kiblu Bimei Achashver. Frek the Meshech Chochma. If that's the case, and you have Jews who effect, in effect force converted. Remember, all the laws of conversion come from Mount Sinai. So why are they responsible? Why are they punished? Why are they punished for their averus during the entire period previous to, prior to the story of Purim? His answer is unbelievable. Unbelievable answer. As the Meshech Chachma, you look carefully, the Navi, and he tells you why the Klai Yisrael was punished. Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, Gzela, even Shvichas Damin. What is common to all these things? Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. According to the Meshech Chachma, they weren't punished for Chilul Shabbos and for other things they may have done. No, they never accepted it. So the Meshech Chachma says my verb. I told it to Rav Asher, he said, well, that's Dinei Shamayim. He liked my Ramban better. But okay, but still, the Yesod is there. Elsewhere, the Meshech Chachma writes in Tzilas HaBracha, that what does it mean? Hodeh Kivlu Yimei HaShverish. What changed then? It says as follows. This is sort of a slightly different line. Before I knew the Meshech Chachma, yes, I always thought the prayer was like this. That Mikan Modorab Olaraisa made only after the Churban. Why? Because during Bayis Rishon, they're on the level of Kahakigigis. Why is the Meshech Chachma himself explain Hakigigis? Not that they were forced. They saw such Gilui Shechina, they couldn't say no. Abchaim held it up for curses, by the way. But as I mentioned, Rav Pshat, how can you say no? You see such Gilui Shechina. So I wanted to suggest that Gilui Shechina was there, at least Bezer Anpin, for the whole Bayis Rishon, the Tamil Nisan. So therefore they would be punished. After the Churban, now as the Gemara puts it, they said, well, now we have to keep Torah. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoned us. We don't have to keep Torah anymore. Hada Kivlu B'meach HaShveresh B'zman Hester Ponin. And that's what's Mekhaev us today, when there's no more Gilui Shechina. This is the Purim Bikur Kabbalah Zatar, what was accepted now, the month of Adar Abba Olein Latov. So the Meshech Chachma says something very similar in the Dos HaBracha. Not quite identical, but that's sort of an aside. This is my Pshat and Rambam. That Chiddush Gadol, I agree, I can see it, I recognize. But nonetheless, in my opinion, that's the Pshat and Rambam. That's why he says it only here in Malachim, doesn't say it in the Nechaz Yisrael. That's what he means, Yehorek, that's what he means, Kigar Toshev, that's what he means. The money issues, you're always a Jew. That's my pshat. Based, and there's a Ramban, and a little bit of Meshech Chachma, precedent for such a concept as someone who is Jewish, but not going to be punished because there's a lack of Kabbalah, HaMitzvahs Berotz. Nope. So what's the Machlokes, the Rambam and everybody else? Assuming I'm right, so how, why does the Rambam not agree with the Mefurish Gemara, Baba Basra? Baba Basra says, I can say I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm not interested. I'm not interested, then the karka goes back to you. So why go to the Rambam? Because he's not interested, he's Jewish anyway. What happened over here? Yeah.
Huh? You say Bezin?
Okay, that's what the Ramban suggests. Makoach Bezin Yofen. Could be. That's what the Russian Subas calls it. That's the possibility. Makoach Bezin Yofen. Okay, the possibility. But if you want to be a little more lumbus, understand, huh? Oh, we'll get to that. That's a very good shot, but I'm not upset yet. Very good. Before we get to that, perhaps they're fighting about Zoch. What does it mean? Zoch and La'odam Shalom B'Fon. You mentioned last week, so Tosin said that. That's where we got started all this. Tosin is bothered. If the whole thing is based upon Zochim, but Zoch and the Kotan is on the Midrabanan. So if Zoch and the Kotan is on the Midrabanan, every Ger Kotan is on the Midrabanan. So if he gets married, he's not really married, and he's called Hakal Avraham Torah. We saw the whole Tosin Sanhedrin. So Tosin Subah has the following suggestion. By Schus Gomur, it's better than a plain Schus. Zoch and Adam. So by Kotan is the Rabbanah, the Gemara Baba Metzia called the one Gerson. But Schus Gomur is unique. Absolute Schus. Even the Matana is not an absolute Schus. Why not? The famous Pasuk, who knows? Son of Matana Tzicha, the Rashba calls it in Kiddushin. So the Rashba there says in Kafchav Gimel Kiddushin, a schus gomer you cannot undo. You cannot undo it, at least in certain cases. So it could be a trial like this. Tosis says that you can undo it because you don't do any schus in the Baba Basra. The Amam will say that's the bite by a regular schus. Son of Matanas Yichya. But the schus gomer to become Jewish, this simply cannot be undone. So that's what they're arguing at this point. do we have this principle that it's chuskar what you cannot undo? The Rambam says yes, and Tosis either says it's not a chuskar or you cannot do a chuskar. Either way, that's one shot in the dispute. That's number one. But I have a fancier shot. What's the case in the Gemara Bavasra? I want to give you a piece of land, and you hear about it, I don't want any part of it. Let's pay real estate taxes here in Bergenfield. It's so hard. I don't want any land. Don't give me any land. No land. So when you say you don't want the land, I'm asking you a shaila. As of what minute did you not want the land? Let's say on Sunday, I go to you and say, here, we cornered the land for it. Here's a Kenyan. Like a Kenyan pick up a handkerchief, a leaf with it. And then he finds out about it on Tuesday. I don't want it. In effect, as of when did he not want it? Right. Sunday. He didn't know about it on Sunday. All right? He didn't know yesterday. The minute he found out, he said, no, that no really means he never wanted it. And if he never wanted it, that's how you can undo it. With me? That only makes sense if you can go back to Sunday when we acquired something on his behalf and he had a brain in his head. So on Sunday, he didn't find out about it until Tuesday. So we say, look, on Tuesday he screamed, I don't want it. So we're convinced that had he heard about it on Sunday, he would just the same said, I don't want it. The mail of the Zochin doesn't work. But in our case, when did we put him into the nickel? He was a month or two old. So you're going to say now, well, had he known about it, he was 2 months old, he would have said no. That doesn't exist. A two-year-old doesn't know what's flying. So therefore, it simply cannot be undone. A second pshat in Rambam. Again, either it's a schus gomer, or they usually undo a schus by saying he never wanted it in the first place. He can't say that because at age 1 month or 1 year when he put it in the mikvah, he had no opinions. Second pshat. Yes, sir.
In that scenario, though, what would happen if you didn't know, according to the sheet of the lesson, you assume that you have to tell, you don't have to tell him. So he finds out at 18 and then he says no. You could go back and retroactively say, as of 13, when he had a dot, he would have said no.
The problem is, you have to go back to when he's two months old, whatever he wants to make it.
He's not a barbeya, but at least 13 he is.
I hear, okay.
But until he's 13, he was chiyuv mitzvos anyway. So, the second he became chiyuv mitzvos,
that's correct.
He decided, I don't want to do it, so can we say at that point, you can go back to just when he became chiyuv mitzvos?
Perhaps. I'm not so sure. The third shot is what I think Elchanan suggested before. Someone suggested before. Maybe Dubi. Somebody, I can't remember who said what.
Dubi.
Okay. What is the role of Kabbalah Samitzvahs? We spoke last week about what exactly is the main part of the Geiris. Remember that? Tosis and the different Tosis. According to one Dan Tosis, the main thing is the Kabbalah Samitzvahs. Must be done in the presence of three. Has to be done by day. The whole story. In the Tevilah. We have to be there, we have to see the tefillah. Like a woman goes to make, we have to see the tefillah. The other day is the other way around. The main thing is what? The tefillah. And the Kabbalah misses is sort of a secondary part. Look at what we said, for example, a milah might be a secondary part. Maybe we'll need a bezin for the milah. We spoke about all these things before. Good. The Rambam goes beyond all of this. When the Rambam describes Geiris in such poetic terms, he says as follows, in Hilchas Yisurei Bia Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Dalet. Kishayirza Hagoy Likones Labris Ulistofev Tachas Kanfe Ashchina Vikabal all of all Torah Kama. That's the dependent clause. Sorech Mila Utvila Vatsos Karma. You require Mila, Tvila and a Karma. Wait a minute. According to the Rambam, you get an impression that Kabbalah's mitzvahs is not the main act of Geiris. It's not even a secondary act of Geiris. What is it? That's the word I was looking for. The yeshiva is a famous word. Prerequisite. It's a prereq. It's a prerequisite for Kabbalah, for Geiris. This is not my chiddush. This is say from Mishnah Siyavas, or not the author of Mishnah Siyavas, of Zolti, Zechat Tzadik Levroch, has this in one of his Mamorim on Geiris. This is the Rambam. Others have it as well. For the Rambam, the Kabbalah Samitz is a prerequisite for the entire Geiris process. That's the case, Rabbi Sai. We understand as follows. According to Tosfos, that's Kabbalah HaMitzvos. It's part of the Maaseh Geiros, either the main part of the Maaseh Geiros or a secondary part of the Maaseh Geiros. It can be undone. Because after all, any Maaseh Kinyan, Maaseh Mechira, whatever it may be, it's a tzchus for you. But if you find out about it and you say no, it's no. You can renege on any official, formal Maaseh. But according to the Rambam, that Kabbalah HaMitzvos is not a Maaseh Geiros at all. So you're reneging from it. Is not going to be able to undo the geirus. Normally, of course, you have to come to the bez and they'll throw you out if you're not interested. Listov and taras kan feyashchina. But in the case of the ger katan, where the kabbalah hamitzvah is presumably taken care of either by the bez or some other way, or it's not necessary in this particular case, because you can't do it with the what we spoke about last week, then you cannot undo it because it's not an integral part. Of the tahalich, of the process, of the procedure of geirus. It's a prerequisite. And therefore, the fact that you renege on it wouldn't matter. You're still Jewish. A third shot, and this is true. Okay.
But if it's a prerequisite, then how can you get cut
in there? Oh, very good question. I try to answer that question in a few different ways. Either it's only a prerequisite when you can have it, or the best in substitutes for whatever it may be. Your reneging is not going to undo it because it's not an integral part of the geirus. Fine. Yes, tzarech, mila, tvila, v'chatzos, karmen.
And according to Tosfos, though, you may,
that's correct. Tosfos is an integral part of the Maaseh Geiros. That's the dispute. That's the dispute. Okay. This is the main chiddush I wanted to say, pshat in the Rambam, and three pshatim as to why the Rambam and Tosfos are really arguing, what they're arguing about. In the second half of this year, I want to discuss with you, and I've said about Mekomas, what I call Geirus Bizmanenu. General terms. Geirus Bizmanenu. It's a big problem. Let me summarize. It's a big problem. A major problem. The Gemara has a Masechta Yevamos, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. Starts with the Mishnah. Hanitan ala shivcha or veres kachavim v'nizgaira lo yichnos. A man was living with a goya, and she converted. He shouldn't marry her. Now we know meisim b'chol yom, where men are converting their non-Jewish girlfriends. I mean, living girlfriends and marrying them. It's against the Mishnah. It's all based on the Rambam. The Rambam in the Tshuva wrote, although it's not allowed, but if we will stand in the way and a man will be living with this non-Jewish wife for the rest of his life, better, to go back to the Yafas Torah analogy, he quotes, better to eat what he calls the soup of a nevela than the nevela itself. The lesser of two evils. Ram says if the alternative is to stay with his non-Jewish mate, better to convert her. Not only better to convert her, but he's even allowed to marry her under these conditions. We can allow the marriage to go forward. That's the Rambam says. We survive with the Tshuva's Rambam. Otherwise, we couldn't say it. The Rambam said it. Good. On this Gemara, there's a dispute. If someone converts for the sake of marriage, Rav Nechemya says, you're not Jewish. We paskin halacha kulam geirimim. Even a man who converts for the sake of marriage is a Jewish person. The conversion takes effect. Takes effect. Takes effect. Okay. Why? Why does it take effect? He's converting for the sake of marriage. It's insincere. It's a bluff. He's going to be from. It's Kabbalah HaMitzvos. You pointed out last week, without Kabbalah HaMitzvos, it's nothing. It's worthless. Going on over here. So the Ritzvah asks this kash. On the spot. Hocha kevan din is gairu v'kiblu aleihem chazokahu the agav unsayu gamru v'kiblu. It's a presumption. that although their only real intention is to get married, nonetheless, there's a presumption that because they're forced into it, they're going to accept the mitzvahs and keep them. The af al gav de machmas ha'onasu, because they wanted to marry this woman, gerusu aliba de rabbonim, it's still valid. This is a quote of the Ritva, Chavdal and Amid Beis, in Masech Yevamos. Comes along the Sefer Dvar Avram. Dvar Avram, Chela Gimel, Simon Chavches, and it is found. This was true in the olden years.
Aliba de Rabbanim? What does that mean?
Again, opposed to the Chemin. And the Chemin was no good. Rabbanim was good. In the olden years, yes.
According to Rambam, who said that it's really prerequisite.
So what stage? What stage?
You know, since Kabbalah Smith, according to Rambam, is really prerequisite, once I get to the next step, I can then say, oh, and once you're Jewish, you're Jewish.
But you have to be Kabbalah the Mitzvahs. Is this person really going to accept the mitzvahs and keep them? Says the Ritva, yes. Right. He has no desire to keep the mitzvahs. Says the Rabbi Dvaravram, he had no alternative either. Because in the olden years, if you want to be part of a Jewish society, you had to be frum. It was tough in those years. There was no such thing as a conservative or reform, no unaffiliated. There were two choices. And it was true even until 200 years ago. Two choices. Either you're Jewish or you're not Jewish, means you want to convert to Christianity, they'll take you. But until you do that, no one really wants to do that, almost nobody. You had to belong to the Jewish community, you were bound by their rules, and to keep their precepts. I'm serious, this is true until 200 years ago, approximately. It's only true in the time of the Chazal. No choice! This is the Dvar Avram. Dvar Avram was the covenant rabbi who passed away in the covenant ghetto. He died in his bed in the covenant ghetto in 1942, I believe. Give you a, you know, when he was writing, this is Chela Gimel, he was writing probably in the 30s. So who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? In Lithuania, in the 30s, a significant majority of the Jews were no longer from. So a man can convert to Judaism, in quotes. Why? For marriage. Well, actually, the case here, the woman's, well, who's converting? The woman's converting. So why is she converting? For marriage. But she's not from. Yeah, but you know how it is. She wants to marry this Jewish boyfriend of hers. And the Jewish boyfriend's mother or grandmother won't allow it to happen until she converts. So she'll convert. No, she'll make her boyfriend happen. She'll go to the mikvah. Do you think she has any intention of being from? He's not from. How's she going to be from? She says, Dvar Avram, nowadays, we assume that every conversion done for the sake of marriage is no good until proven otherwise. I believe that 99% of conversions done today are for the sake of marriage. Now you can go check me out. Maybe I'm wrong. Go online. Somehow find out. Somehow I got to find this out. That's what I think. And by the way, I mean Orthodox. I'm not discussing only non-Orthodox. Non-Orthodox, forget about it. Orthodox. Major problem. Major, major problem. Big problem. Now, comes along Rabbi Avadi Yosef Shalita and says something remarkable. Something remarkable. He's like this. Wait a second. Now, things have gotten so bad. I'm not sure it wasn't the Dvar Avram's time in the 30s. In the 30s, he doesn't say it explicitly, in the 30s, so a man wanted to marry a woman, and she's not Jewish, and he wanted to have a physical relationship with her, and she wouldn't do it, because that's how it was in the 1930s. If you had any decency, you weren't together, so you were married. So in order to satisfy his physical desires, so he has to convert her, but she doesn't really want him Jewish, it's all a bluff. Today, I said, imagine, writing in the 70s, it's gotten so much worse. They're living together anyway. So now, why in heaven's name is she converting? It must be the Shem Shemayim. I'm not sure what planet Rabbi Avadia is living on. I don't understand.
I think it's a brilliant insight.
Brilliant.
I mean, what happens these days? is that if you don't, there's no need.
Let me tell you what the need is, my friend. Exactly. You still got the grandmother, and you want to have a kid, and you don't have the kid that you're born out of wedlock, you have to get married. That's the need. That's the only need. Emes? Emes. Emes. This is no question. I'm speaking from experience. I've seen her. Emes. It's converting for the grandmother. I've been living together anyway. They want to get married. Why do they want to get married? They want to have a kid. Whatever reason. That's the reality of life. That is it. Nothing has changed. And therefore, now I have to tell you. He quotes from Shlomo Kluger, who lived in the 19th century, who said like this. We have this concept. You're not permitted to convert the woman because there may have been some relationship, physical relationship between them. Okay? And we're not converting what we call the shame ishus. So Rav Shlomo Kluger said, they're living together anyway. It's not called the shame ishus. That's what Rav Shlomo Kluger said. It's not called the shame ishus. So Rav Shlomo Kluger already said this is so. It goes back already the 19th century. But in my opinion, it ain't so. Let me explain what I'm driving at. Rav Avadya himself, if always intellectually honest, has a Shlomo Kluger against the Mefurash Rashi. As a Rashi in Afmem Ham and Beis, those who can look it up, it's in the very last part of the daft, Mem Ham and Beis, where Rashi makes the following remark. Rashi is clear, quite clear, as follows. A woman was toivel for Nidl. We spoke about this last week. Okay? And we say, doesn't really count. Why? Because he quotes over here the Gemara. Utvila's geirus hava, elisha eina tvila. Because ish in his gaya l'shem isha. The isha in his gaya l'shem ish, eina geirim. So the original conversion was no good. Okay. Now she goes to mikvah later on. That's going to be good. Says Rav Avadya. This case over here, they were living together. The Feirush. Afal Pikein, Rashi seems to say, it's considered to be L'shem Ishus, the Mefurash Rashi, against Rav Shlomo Kluger. So Rav Avadya says, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you the answer. On a level of Doraisa, is the Geirus a valid Geirus or not a valid Geirus? You and I know why they're converting, for the reasons we just gave. So therefore, even though we're living together, Afal Pikein, if the conversion is the Shem Ishus for the sake of marriage, it's presumed to be no good. Until proven otherwise. As we know that there is an absolute Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. But what Rabbi Shlomo Kluger said was referring to a case where they did accept the Mitzvahs. But it's a special Yisud Rabbanon, L'chatchiliyah not Megayah L'Shem Ishus. With respect to the Yisud Rabbanon, then Rabbi Shlomo Kluger said, we can say that living together in advance, we're not going to consider the shame issues. But in the level of Doraisa, whether we have a right, we have presumed that they really are sincere or insincere, then forget about it. Then it's no good. More than that. Now, Gos Mordechai in the Masechta Yevamos in the back has the following case. It's an amazing case. Someone converted, and from the very beginning, it's not so clear they're really from. What are they driving it over here? They have some ulterior motive. Maybe they're not so frum. This is in Simon Kuf Yud. Says the Hagos Mordechai like this. Someone converted, but we're not exactly sure what they're up to. He says, if we see later on that they're frum, then we say, oh, when they converted originally, they really were sincere, and therefore retrospectively will say that they really are Jewish. Because it all depends what's going on in their head at the moment of the tefillah. However, if they turn out to be not frum, then retrospectively we know they never were frum, and therefore they're not Jewish. This is what we see in Zman HaGemara. Zman HaGemara. Kal v'chomer nowadays. Says the Dvar Avraham one more thing. People are coached. She goes into the mikveh, right? And she says, here she says, I want to become Jewish. I want to keep the mitzvahs. I'm going to keep the mitzvahs. I'm going to keep Shabbos. I'm going to keep kosher. And she tells her, gives her all the right answers. Come on. Says the Dvar Avraham, this is a farce. You and I know she's married this guy who's not from. 99%+ of the cases, she's not going to be any firmer than he is. She's not going to keep Shabbos if he's not keeping Shabbos in almost all cases. So she's bluffing. She's bluffing. Do you have your Igor Smarsha or Moshe Feinstein? Is that here? I'd like to, if you have the Yoredeya, I want to see Chelek Aleph and Chelek Gimel, if possible. If you have it. Yoredeya Aleph and Yoredeya Gimel, if possible. Yeah. All the time.
All the time.
The shul president comes to the rabbi and says, my son's marrying a girl and I'm in trouble and I want you to do the conversion. And the rabbi is under pressure, does the conversion. And the rabbi asks all the right questions. The boy gives all the right answers, but you know, he winks and she, everyone's winking and we know it's just nothing's happening. Look what Rabbi Moshe says. It is in Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, in Yoredeya. Listen to the Lashon of Rav Moshe. Chelek Aleph, Yoredeya. This is written 1929 or 28 in Luban. Af im Omer v'piv shemekamo mitzvahs. Im anan sadi she'eno mekabel alav be'emes eino klum. And why are the rabbis doing this? Is it Hashem wants these people to be part of Am Yisrael? Well, the dina poshet she'ein ze ger klal. Poshet. Nothing to talk about. Yes?
When we talk about
isn't there a rule, Dvarim Shebeleiv, Einam Dvarim? There's a famous Gemara / Ritva in Kiddush Naf Memtes called Dvarim Shebelibo Ubeleiv Kol Adam. We all know, Lebeleiv is hidden deep inside his heart. This is not hidden deep inside his heart. It may contradict what he said verbally, but everyone knows, it's out there in the open. Yes, Tavi. Dvarim Shebelibo Leiv Kol means it's... Yeah. No, that's not the case. Now, Rav Moshe goes further. In Chelek Gimel, Simen Kuf Vav, in Yoredeya. How can you go further than that? He said, Pusha Jena Ger Klal. Look at this. This is an amazing Kiddush, Rav Moshe. He says, in Inyan Ageris, Reuben de Reuben, He Beshvilishus. That's already written in 1969. How many years later? 40 years later. Written to someone in Holland. Okay. Hold on a sec. He says, Yeshlocha sha'av sha'orin lefnei bezdin. She'mekabam aleha mitzvahs. Eino emes. They're not telling the truth. They're not telling the truth. Can you imagine? Says Rav Moshe, Havi ka'anan sadi again, sheyesh safek. And therefore you don't say, that dvarim shebelev, einam dvarim. This is such a big giant step beyond. Until now, I only said what? If you know for a fact that he's not accepting the mitzvahs, so anan sadi, it's no good. Rav Moshe goes further. If it's anan sadi, it's a safek, it's still no good. Oh, isn't that sad? Everyone is converting the shame issues as at least a suffix. If Chaim Moses says no, if it's a suffix, then we say drama shvulei benu dvar. Only if it's like a vadai, or near vadai, I guess it's like a vadai, then we say it's nothing. It's nothing. Oh. Problem. What happens if a person really wants to keep the mitzvahs but just can't do it? So Chaim Moses says, look, they want to keep the mitzvahs, So they we should consider it to be Jewish. They're going to fall in here and there. So everybody, we all fall in here and there. Everyone falls in here and there. Well, but the Zebchaim was in the same paragraph. If Hadavar Borosh Yavrach Isure Torah Chil Shabbos Vachilas Trefis, Umvra Demuchak as a bluff and is nothing. So I have a question. Isn't Trefis and Shabbos a mitzvah? So if they eat the Trefis and Vachal Shabbos, what we call the Teyavon, because they can't overcome their instincts, so once again we should say that it should be just one mitzvah. Here's what I think of Pshat is. I believe Reb Chaim Moshe is distinguishing between mitzvahs which, what we call the Ksheirei Yisrael, are known to keep. You know, a Shomer mitzvah is called, and even to this day, you keep Shabbos and Kashrus. Those are always the two signposts. So, maybe because they're public, whatever it is. Shabbos and Kashrus. Lashon Hara. The guy's keeping Shabbos, keeping Kashrus, but he's also saying Lashon Hara. So the Gemara has in Bava Basra, Vakulon, Bavach Lashon Hara, maybe Lashon Hara to Havi and Maskana. Since, unfortunately, there's so many people who are known as Shomer Mitzvahs, but unfortunately, initially on Lashon Hara, it's hard to say that a person who converts and doesn't say a word of Lashon Hara, and knows in the beginning they're going to fall into Lashon Hara, that they're not Jewish. I think they are Jewish. That's what Chaim Moshe meant. If they want to say, I don't believe in the Yisrael Lashon Hara, then they're not Jewish. I believe in it. I accept that it exists. But you know, I can't control my tongue. I kept the shul and the people talk to Lashon Hara. I can't be better than the people who are Shomer Shabbos and Kashrus. I can't do it. Yeah.
How does this apply to a Ger Katan who's being, let's say, a child adopted by a non-frum
family? Oh. What about a non-frum family that adopts? So the Sri Leish says, not Jewish. It's not a schus to be adopted into a non-frum family. Till now you were from non-Jew. Kept seven mitzvahs, you're great. Now you become Jewish. If you would be considered Jewish in Michal Shabbos every week, who said that's good? You can train with every day. Who said that's good? Rav Moshe has a wild suggestion that if you become Jewish, so the mitzvahs of Eretz don't count because you don't know any better. But that's a very that's a minority opinion. According to most opinions, that Geras is also not a Geras. Oh, so Rav Moshe has a tshuva, another amazing tshuva in Chelek Gimel. What happens? She doesn't dress properly. She doesn't dress properly. Rav Moshe writes as follows. Oh, exactly it. Me'achas and Nifras. Remember, this is 1969. This has gotten much better since then. But in 69, I mean, you know, I remember those years, the 60s. That was a peak. 69. The Me'achas and Nifras till Boshes Hapritus Baba Masena Rabim Gabib Nos Yisrael Fa'af Be'elu Shehen quote Shomros Torah. So the non-Jewish woman thinks, although the rabbi said you gotta wear long sleeves, machmir, this and that. And therefore maybe she's Jewish if she walks around in sleeves like all of her friends in those days would walk around. I agree. That's like Lashon Hara. I mean, only in the sense that, you know, I don't mean to be mouth or anything over here. But but the unfortunate reality is that these things are unfortunately very common, even though people were known as being from Shabbos and Kashrus. So therefore, that distinction, I believe, does hold. Bottom line, I'm sorry to say, that I believe that the vast majority of conversions in America, and probably throughout the world, are invalid. It's a very strong statement.
So Lamaise, you can't get married away, and people only come 30 years later to get married, 20 years later to get married.
It's a major problem. If you can puncture a hole in my logic, Bavakasha, it seems to me that you accept this ritva with the Dvar of Rome and with the fundamental point of Rav Moshe, with Rav Chaim Moshe, you can maybe the typical conversion. Someone did a study. So some rabbis from this country went down to South America to do conversions. It's a good business. They get paid money for it. Who the rabbis? So they went. So they did a little bit of a checkup after that. What was the percentage of them that remained, that were observant? They found there were two such rabbis. One, yeah, his record, 99% were not observant, were not Shomer Shabbos. But that was the better record. The other one, 100% Rosh Hashanah. It's not a joke. And there are some rabbis in this country whose batting percentage is not that much better. Well, yeah, but 99% of Gary, we heard Rabbi Moshe said that, Ruba the Ruba, the Shem Ishus.
So one benefits non-Zeros, right? Because they don't
need a get. They're not Jewish, that's probably right, but that's a small comfort. I've had many cases, you know, I'm picking up the pieces later. There was a young lady I was dealing with in the 90s. Her mother was converted as a youngster in the 50s by a chosh of a rav, not one of these professional guys who did it, you know, to make money in a wholesale basis. No, a community rabbi, a learned and respected community rabbi. You know what I mean. But I started checking up to try to find out. At the moment that the couple, that the woman converted in the 50s, was she Shomer Shabbos? I want to know. She went to the mikveh, she was already over 13, 12, over 12. That next Shabbos, did she drive it or did she drive? And the answer is she drove. I mean, she obviously drove the car herself, maybe, but she wasn't Shomer Shabbos. She was putting on lights, all inquiries pointed in that direction. So why is she Jewish? Explain it to me. Why is she Jewish? This was not, you know, necessarily the shame issue. Well, it was a shame issue. Man had married woman, came into a community of a particular rabbi with children, and then the rabbi converted the whole family, the non-Jewish woman and her children. And if he converted the woman only, who also wasn't from, and then she had subsequent children, it's the same problem. These are serious issues. I'm not here to make tzaras for people. Yes?
Just one fast thing about your finish.
Oh, the Chiddush, okay.
Well, listen, you say that perhaps Rav Moshe also agrees. The fact that he says that there's a scenario where you have a woman who could get chayav for mitzvah and not be chayav for averus, perhaps he's saying a similar concept, that there's certain things that would not stick. Similar to Rav.
No, Rav Moshe didn't mean, I don't believe, that the same person would be punished, wouldn't be punished if a bezin would give him a asro or aid him. He means a different story. Bottom line, the person doesn't know what's going on, and therefore there's not going to be ownership day shemayim. I don't know if you say b'day odom. I'm saying you're saying b'day odom. I don't want to. I'd love to have a mashias my ally, believe me, but I don't want to put words into his mouth. That would not be fair. I think my time is up. I really want to end the same way I began about this week and last week, by once again thanking you for giving me the opportunity to participate in a Talmud Torah Derabim, especially when it's such a wonderful community with such a wonderful Rav. And I want to say one more thing. I just came speaking with the Sheva brothers, and I spoke about a professional Talmud. That was the expression that I used there. That people who are able to latch on to a Rav or to a Rebbe, And to be close, that is a midah which not everybody has. Many people are, you know, they hear a shir from a rov and they this, but to become develop a closeness with a rov, this goes back to Yoshua ben Nun. That's where it started with Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the topic. Chassid name was Yoshua. I'll talk about that. I believe that many of you in this room have been privileged to be Yoshua's to Rabbi Neuberger's Moshe, and in that schus, may it be a schus for the refuah shleimah for your rav, and may it be a schus for the tremendous success of the people here in the Kehillah, here in the Shir, in this entire community, and all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.